Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we read from the first book of Kings, and we hear Elijah the prophet. We hear of the widow and her misfortunes and difficulties. And all through this, God is teaching us a lot. So pay attention. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 7 to 16. The brook near where Elijah was hiding ran dry because no rain had fallen in the land. That would be difficult for people who are dependent on the produce of the land. So the Lord said to Elijah, "Move on to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have designated a widow there to provide for you." So God oftentimes goes before us to make a way. He left. He went to Zarephath. And as he arrived at the entrance of the city, a widow was gathering sticks. There he called out to her, "Please bring me a small cupful of water to drink." And she didn't say, "Who are you, stranger? I don't have any time for you." No, she left to get it. And he called out after her, "Please bring along a bit of bread." And she answered, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. There is only a handful of flour in my jar and a little oil in my jug. Just now, I was collecting a couple of sticks to go in and prepare something for myself and my son. And when we have eaten it, we shall die." Now, that could sound very dramatic to you, but she knew if there was no water and no food, and they were alone, and the land was parched, there was no produce of the land, she knew they would die. And what does Elijah say to her? "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you propose, but first make me a little cake and bring it to me." Now, how would you feel? You're on your last legs, so to speak. You have nothing more, really, to give. He was asking her to give out of her necessity, not out of her surplus. Do you notice that? Asked to give out of her necessity, not out of her surplus. What are we like when we're asked to give something out of our necessity? In other words, we don't really have it to give. There's a little there, but if you take that little, there's nothing. And we're very much afraid of that. We're very much afraid to go out on the limb, so to speak. Whether that be physical things, emotional situations, other challenging circumstances, how ready am I to give out of my need? Not out of my excess, but out of my need. Elijah, I'll repeat this. Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you propose. But first make me a little cake and bring it to me. Then you can prepare something for yourself and your son. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry until the day when the Lord sends rain upon the earth.'" She left. She did as Elijah has said. She was able to eat for a year, and Elijah and her son as well. The jar of flour did not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, as the Lord had foretold through Elijah. Remember, this woman gave out of her need. She didn't give out of her surplus. How ready are we when there's a circumstance and someone else is in deep need and we don't have any extra? How willing are we to share the little that we have? And that doesn't have to be just physically, emotionally, time, all kinds of areas we could look at. How willing am I, even when I'm in need myself, or at least very limited myself, how willing am I to share even the little that I have? Psalm 4, "Lord, let your face shine on us. When I call, answer me, O my just God. You who relieve me when I am in distress, have pity on me and hear my prayer." Make that psalm your own when you're in need and someone's asking you for something that you have very little of. It's a real test. I know there's prudence, and if you've got a lot of other people that look to you for help, of course you can't just say, I'll help everybody, and then really not be able to come through. And there's a certain reason that has to work, but what is the attitude of your soul? What's the attitude of your heart? Is it hoarding, holding on, calculating, or is it generous and open, trusting that the God who gave you what you need, even excess that you can give away, that God will safeguard you when you're in difficulty? Do you understand that? And we take a look at, again, this Psalm 4. Know that the Lord does wonders for his faithful one. The Lord will hear me when I call upon him. Tremble and sin not. Reflect upon your beds in silence. Lord, let the light of your countenance shine upon us. You put gladness into my heart more than when grain and wine abound, more than when I have everything I like. You put gladness into my heart that is much greater. See, we've got to draw close to him. We've got to begin to absorb more of his priorities, his values, and what he asks of us. And when we give ourselves over to his priorities, his values, his agenda, we're much happier, really, genuinely. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth." In other words, you've been given gifts. I've taught you. I've led you. I've shown you the way. You can bring salt to the earth, seasoning. You can make it better. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Is the salt in our lives good? Is it alive? Does it season conversations? Does it season decision making? Does it season relationships with other people? Am I really salt of the earth? God wants us to be that. And he equips us through the sacraments. He honestly equips us. It's just that we don't know what we're doing. We don't know how to use them. That's why I say the catechism is so important. Learn the gifts you have. We'll be saying more about that. But learn the gifts that you have been given. And ask God, God, activate them. Help me. Help me to follow you. And then you spend your time drawing closer to the Lord by prayer, by reading scripture, by the Eucharist, adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Read, feed, and more, because his word is living more and more. Your life will be shaped to his values and his priorities, and you will become salt of the earth. Jesus goes on to say, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." And then he says to them again, "You are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth." And I think most of us could probably look at ourselves and say, "I am the light of the world and I am the salt of the earth? No way." But you see, it's God's presence in you. He can work with any one of us if we're giving ourselves over to him, if we're saying, help me to reprioritize even my life, but help me to prioritize my day. Help me to prioritize this week. Help me that I may be in a position that as I go through the normal routine or the work that I need to accomplish, that I can become salt of the earth to others because I'm listening to him. I'm seeking him. I'm drawing closer to him. And the gifts enable us to take on more of his mind and his heart. That's what he's about, is drawing you close to himself. So don't hide. Don't try to do it on your own. Don't try to live a holy life by yourself. Don't do that. You can't. You honestly can't. even if you get one day right, would be a miracle for all of us because we're sinful. But God can triumph in us if we surrender to Him, if we give our lives over to Him, if we seek to follow Him. Lord, let Your face shine upon us. Let Your face shine upon us. I remember one time being in a same conference with Mother Teresa, and I was very much in awe of her too. But I was very struck at one point. I was sitting, I was not on the stage at this point, and I was sitting actually on a set of bleachers. We were in a high school auditorium, and I was sitting on the bleachers, and Mother was coming in. She was going to speak, and she actually came in from the back, not from a side door up near the front. She just came in from the back, and I don't know how to describe this to you except to say I literally watched people's faces change as she walked by them. And it wasn't just delight or some kind of awe or whatever. It was the light of Jesus Christ. There was light. And that light shone on the people who were sitting there. It shone on their faces. How do I know? How can I describe it to you? I can't, except to say there was a light when she walked through, and that light touched those people. Now you say, well, I'm not a saint. Well, why not become one? Why not become one? Why not draw near to Him? Why not ponder His word? Why not reflect in what He's calling you to be a saint? We can't do it, but He can do it in us when we give Him permission. Shape me, conform me, challenge me, mold me, so that Your light, Lord, might shine through me. That's what it's all about. That's what He wants to accomplish in us. Brothers and sisters, that makes life very exciting. Honestly, it really does, because you see God working. We decrease that He may increase. So it goes against our flesh, and that part we don't like. We want it to feel good, and it doesn't feel good, because you're dying to yourself, and you're taking on His mind, and you're taking on His priorities. So there's death involved. There really is, and you feel it. But, oh, brothers and sisters, when you open your heart to the light of Christ and He begins to work in you, and then one day He begins to work through you. Frankly, I don't know that there is a greater joy in this world than that. I want you to know how much I pray for you, that you may open your heart more and more to His plan for your life, that you might more and more become the salt of the earth, that you might reach out to others, that they in turn may come to know and love the Lord as you do. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.